Good afternoon. Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Jennifer Kalt, Director of Humboldt Baykeeper. The Eco News Report is brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, the Eco News. Today, my guest is Fred Evanson of the Ecological Rights Foundation. Fred is here to talk about mercury and fish in Monterey Bay's Elkhorn Slough, one of the largest estuaries in California. Thanks so much for being on the Eco News Report today, Fred.
Thanks for having me on, Jen.
So let's start by talking a little bit about you. So you are one of the co-founders of Humboldt Baykeeper. You and Pete Nichols founded Baykeeper back in 2004. And at that time, we were a project of the Ecological Rights Foundation. But now we are part of the North Coast Environmental Center, and you are living in Santa Cruz, California, where you still are running the Ecological Rights Foundation.
Well, I'm still a director of the Ecological Rights Foundation, and I run a law practice down in Santa Cruz.
So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Ecological Rights Foundation and your work, more recent work that you've been doing?
Sure. As you mentioned, we are co-founders and the initial sponsor of the Humboldt Baykeeper program. Ecological Rights Foundation was founded in the mid-90s by a group of activists up there in Humboldt, including myself, and we often go by Eco Rights. And our primary focus over the years has been protecting humans from toxic exposures, from stopping industrial and municipal water pollution, particularly to coastal environments, and protecting endangered species.
Right, so lots of overlap there with Humboldt Baykeeper and the Waterkeeper Alliance generally. And I should say that I really wanted to have you on the show today to talk about your mercury study and the work, advocacy work you're doing around mercury issues, in large part because Humboldt Baykeeper recently was awarded a grant from the California EPA to do a similar study here in Humboldt Bay. We've been pursuing this grant for a few years, ever since we found out that there was a statewide survey of fish along the entire coast of California, which found the highest mercury levels in the state in a leopard shark from Humboldt Bay. But there were also very high levels found in Elkhorn Slough. Why don't you start off telling our listeners a little bit about Elkhorn Slough and why it's so important?
Sure. Elkhorn Slough is geographically located in the center of Monterey Bay, right where the Monterey Submarine Canyon surfaces, very close to shore. The slough is a marine tidal estuary. It is home to the largest population of southern sea otters, among many other species, and in particular is very heavily used by female sea otters in rearing pups. It's a very, very important and ecologically sensitive part of Monterey Bay. And we came across the same data that you were talking about during an investigation into another issue in Elkhorn Slough. The Ecological Rights Foundation stumbled across a pipe, actually, that was discharging huge amounts of contaminated industrial stormwater into the slough, right in an area where it's very heavily used by moms and pup sea otters. The water that we found there that was flooding from a local industrial facility had a very thick hydrocarbon sheen on it, and it stunk like hydrocarbons, petroleum. So we went out on several occasions that winter and took samples and discovered that the water was not only full of hydrocarbons, but also heavy metals, and proceeded to bring a Clean Water Act enforcement action against a company called Pick and Pull, which is a facility that allows people to come onto their facility to dismantle vehicles themselves. And then after they've been picked apart, they crush the vehicles and send them off for scrap. So it turned out that this facility had an undersized stormwater filtration device, and the water during just normal rainfalls was bypassing the filtration device and flooding unfiltered directly into the slough. So we were researching this during this action and found the fish tissue data that was collected by the state surface water ambient monitoring program, I believe it is, the SWAMP program.
Yeah.
And in that data, we found the very high levels of mercury that they found in the sharks primarily, and some in bat rays as well, for Elkhorn Slough. So that piques our interest in a different issue, because being down in Moss Landing, frequently, pretty much every time we're down there, we see people fishing from the banks of Elkhorn Slough for leopard sharks and bat rays.
Oh, that's primarily what they fish for there.
That's right.
Let's talk a little bit about the impacts of mercury on human health and the environment and why it's such a concern. I mean, mercury is the main pollutant that there are fish advisories for. So generally, people are told, you know, fish is really healthy food. You should, you know, take fish oil if you're a pregnant woman and, you know, all this stuff. But then there's the flip side, which is that some fish can have mercury levels that are unsafe for humans to consume. Why don't we talk a little bit about what the impacts are of mercury consumption and exposure?
Sure. It's important to note that there are different forms of mercury. Mercury is a naturally occurring element. It's found in the Earth's core. It's found in air, water, and soil. There are a couple of different forms of it. There's the elemental form, there's inorganic form. But the most toxic form, the one that we're primarily concerned about, is methylmercury. And that's the organic form that builds up in fish and shellfish and any animals that eat fish and shellfish. It's methylated. What happens is that, and this is the method that is not really well known by the scientific community. There's still a lot of new things being discovered about the methylation of mercury. But one thing that is known is that certain bacteria, particularly bacteria that are present in anaerobic environments, will create methylmercury from the other forms of mercury. And then once the methylmercury is formed, it bioaccumulates in the food chain. Animals that are at the top of the food chain are at primary risk because once the methylmercury begins to bioaccumulate in the environment, it also biomagnifies up the food chain. So as animals who are higher on the food chain eat those that are lower on the food chain, the methylmercury will increase in concentrations in those animals. So humans and marine mammals and others that are at the top of the food chain are at primary risk.
That explains why leopard shark have such high levels, is that right?
That's exactly right. They're long-lived and they're apex predators.
Right, so the older the creature is that you're eating and the higher on the food chain it eats, the more likely you are to be exposed to mercury. So it's important to understand that when you choose which fish. Like, for example, if you're going to the docks to buy an albacore, you might not want to pick the biggest one.
Right. Or lingcod, for example. Back in the very early years of Humboldt Baykeeper, we did a project where we collected lingcod from down in Cape Mendocino, thinking that this would be a good location to sample because there are no known industrial sources of mercury down there. And so we collected lingcod from Cape Mendocino, and we also collected albacore that were swimming north in the warm currents just offshore. And we also collected and analyzed fillets from Chinook salmon. And what we found was even down in Cape Mendocino, the lingcod had very high levels of methylmercury in their tissues. The albacore was much, much lower. So the lingcod, if my memory serves me well, was somewhere around 0.7 parts per million. And to put that in perspective, the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, California's OEHA, states that any fish above 0.44 parts per million should not be consumed by women of childbearing age or children. And so the lingcod down at Cape Mendocino, one of the issues there, I mean, lingcod are very high on the food chain. They eat rockfish and other species, large crustaceans, and they live a long time and they can get very large. So a couple of the fish that we caught down there were, you know, up to 25 pounds. So when people ask me about how much lingcod they should eat, I recommend that they eat the smaller ones. So if you're going to go fishing for lingcod, for a couple of reasons, you should throw those 25-pounders back and keep the ones that are, of course, legal, but smaller, because the mercury levels are much lower. And also, the larger ones are more important in the reproductive mechanisms for lingcod. They're better breeders.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I answered a question about the health effects of mercury. You know, mercury is very harmful to developing brain, heart, kidneys, lungs, the immune system. There are a lot of toxicological endpoints for mercury. And so high levels of methylmercury in the bloodstream of fetuses and young children can harm their developing nervous systems. They can make children less able to think and to learn. Mercury levels can affect your vision. It can cause hair loss. All kinds of health problems.
Hmm. Well, and something that comes up fairly frequently, especially in rural populations, the fish advisories that are developed by the state agencies that are responsible for protecting human health, like OEHAS, which has got to be one of the funniest acronyms. You know, they base how much your exposure is and what's safe on an average person, average American. American or average Californian's fish consumption, which tends to be, you know, eating fish once or twice a month. But of course, there are lots of communities where people eat fish much more frequently, you know, tribal populations, Latino, Hmong people. Also, you know, there are lots of people who live near the coast who just subsist off fish that they catch. And sometimes it can be for, you know, financial reasons, because it's basically free food. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, of course, we all know the obsessive fisherman who just loves to spend every waking moment they possibly can fishing.
Right.
So people who are eating, you know, 10, 15, 20 fish meals a month, as they call them, are getting tremendous exposure if, you know, if there is mercury or other contaminants in the fish. And so we talk about this as being an environmental justice issue because, you know, not only are people eating a lot more fish, but they may have less access to information about, you know, how to avoid mercury exposure. And so the state does what are called fish advisories, and a lot of people have probably seen these. There are signs in along waterways that warn people about eating certain fish. So that's, you know, that's one way to protect human health. But of course, the other way is to think about where the sources of mercury are coming from. And is there any thought in Elkhorn Slough as to the sources of mercury, or is it just thought to be general atmospheric deposition?
It's still a bit of a mystery, Jen. There were a couple of recent studies, interesting studies conducted by professors at University of California, Santa Cruz, including Dr. Peter Weiss, the singing scientist, sort of a local hero around Santa Cruz, for his children's albums and environmental-themed albums, including the hit Do As You Otter. Anyway, Peter and his team conducted a couple of studies that are very interesting to analyzing the sources of mercury, not just in Elkhorn Slough, but other parts of coastal California. And one of them found that mercury, methyl mercury, the toxic methylated form of mercury, was entering Elkhorn Slough and also in another location up in Tomales Bay in groundwater, which had not been seen previously. How the mercury in groundwater was becoming or is becoming methylated is still a bit of a mystery to them. And some, I think, suspect that the methylation is occurring as the groundwater bubbles up and filters through the benthic zone of the slough environment and mixes with the anaerobic bacteria there, creating the methylation process.
Hmm.
But there may also be industrial sources like the power plant that's located at the heart of Moss Landing, right there on the slough, located on the slough, which used to burn bunker fuel, is now, I think, transformed to natural gas. But it's unclear whether there may be some mercury introduced from agricultural operations in the area. And atmospheric deposition is also definitely one of causes of the mercury in the environment there. There's a lot of mercury produced, for example, by Chinese coal power plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that mercury travels across the Pacific and ends up in our environment through rainfall and atmospheric deposition. But another form of source of mercury pollution that they've just recently discovered is coastal fog. Dr. Weiss and his crew have been collecting fog samples, including, I think they have one sampling location up in Patrick's Point near you, where they're collecting fog and analyzing it for methylmercury. And they're finding that there's methylmercury, not extremely high levels, not like it's a human health concern, but levels that are high enough that they are being deposited in the coastal and bioaccumulation in the terrestrial animals in the coastal areas as well.
Hmm.
I think recently they collected some hair from mountain lions in the Santa Cruz Mountains and found high levels of mercury in the mountain lions.
Wow.
So that's the long answer. The short answer is we don't know all the sources, potential sources of mercury to Elkhorn Slough.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Econos Report. I'm your host, Jennifer Cult with Humboldt Baykeeper, and I'm speaking with Fred Evanson, Director of Ecological Rights Foundation, about mercury in fish in Elkhorn Slough in Monterey Bay. Right, and it's a similar situation here in Humboldt Bay. When mm-hmm. we first read this result of the high levels of mercury in leopard shark in Humboldt Bay, mm-hmm. you know, my first thought was, well, what kind of industrial sources could there be? And in areas where there was a lot of gold mining or were areas where there were mercury mines themselves, like in the Clear Lake area, there were mercury mines that were mined by the gold miners. And then they took the mercury out into the hills, you know, in the Trinity River watershed and other places where there was a lot of gold mining. But, you know, the Mad River and the Eel River don't seem to have had much gold mining. And so, you know, I don't think that that's a likely source. So, you know, the atmospheric deposition may be the main source. It's hard to know. But I have read some studies recently that it's not necessarily correlated with mercury in the sediment. So, you know, it's just, it's really, there's a lot of cutting edge science on this now. And so the first step is really just finding out how contaminated are the fish in Humboldt Bay. And so that's what we'll be doing starting pretty soon here, sampling fish to see what the levels are.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see what the levels are in some of the other predator species in Humboldt Bay, like halibut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to sample leopard shark, bat ray, California halibut, lingcod, and shiner surf perch.
Mm-hmm.
So we're targeting animals that people tend to catch to eat, you know, that tend to be more resident in Humboldt Bay or on the North Coast. And so we'll find out, you know, if this leopard shark was sort of an anomaly or if it's really problematic and people should be limiting their consumption of those species.
Right. Do you recall whether the swamp data was it a single sample or a composite sample or multiple samples of leopard shark?
I believe it was composite of several animals.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe three. I'm not sure, though.
Right.
It's been a while since I read that study. You know, I've been trying to get funding for this study for 2 or 3 years now, so.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
I have to refresh my memory on some of this stuff. Yeah, thanks.
It's not terribly surprising that they found high levels of mercury in the leopard sharks. I think that the swamp data from 2009, 2010, the state data, found unacceptable, in other words, you know, for consumption, levels of mercury in all of the sharks that were sampled up and down the coast of California. And when we initially contacted OWEHA to start the discussion about site-specific fish consumption advisory for elkhorn slough, there was some discussion from OWEHA about doing a statewide fish consumption advisory for all sharks, period, which still makes some sense, and I think that they may be pursuing that. But when they heard about the data that we collected, the local data about the catching and consumption of elkhorn slough leopard sharks by primarily the Latino community down in Watsonville and Salinas, they decided to go forward and they moved pretty quickly with coming up with the elkhorn slough fish advisory.
Right. So that's pretty recent news. That's mid-July, I believe, is when they came out with the fish advisory, right?
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about that study. And, you know, your study did not involve sampling fish, as the Humboldt Baykeeper study will, but we're going to incorporate some of the survey methods that you used as well. And so why don't you talk a little bit about the study you did and the types of patterns of fish consumption in elkhorn slough?
Sure. Well, when we came across the swamp data, at that time, Ecological Rights Foundation had an intern from UC Santa Cruz by the name of Jocelyn Rogers, and she was a junior and an environmental studies major, and she's bilingual. She speaks Spanish as well as English. And so when she learned of this, she immediately thought that, hey, this is something that I could do a senior thesis about. And so she worked with, I think she actually contacted OWEHA and got some samples of fish consumption surveys that were used in the San Francisco Bay Area that led to the site-specific San Francisco Bay fish consumption advisories because of the subsistence fishing around the bay. And she created a bilingual survey to be conducted down in Elkhorn Slough. And then she spent months going down to Elkhorn Slough and interviewing the anglers that you can see out there pretty much any day, but primarily on the weekends. And what she found was consistent with our observations that most of the anglers, the vast majority of anglers, are young men, and the majority of them are Latino. And when asked about whether they knew anything about the potential for mercury contamination in the fish, most of them had not heard anything about it or were not aware of the issue. And then the majority of them all admitted that they catch these fish to eat and that they also feed the fish to their families. Many of them were married and had children. So when OWEHA, you know, heard about the results of our survey, I think they put the Elkhorn Slough Fish Advisory on the fast track.
Well, that's, you know, that's great. I mean, a lot of times we don't see such rapid response from government agencies that tend to move at the speed of a glacier. But, you know, this is really important issue. So what do they actually propose to do once they establish the fish advisory?
Well, we're going to be in discussions with them about that. We think it's important that there be signage, you know, that there be warnings posted in English and Spanish in these areas that are heavily used for fishing along Elkhorn Slough. The advisory concerns both leopard sharks and bat rays, and OWEHA advises that women who are ages 48 and younger and children do not consume any bat rays or leopard sharks. Adult males can eat a little bit, maybe one meal per week, because adult males don't have the same issues. Although it can be very toxic, it's not as toxic as it is to the developing fetus or to a child's developing brain. They also, kind of surprisingly, issued a warning about certain clams, Asian clams, particularly not concerning, but surprising because they issued an advisory for certain species of clams that aren't actually present in Elkhorn Slough, but the advisory doesn't cover the clam species like little necks and gapers that are present in the slough. So we're hoping that they might redo the advisory for the shellfish species as well. Posting the signs is going to be the most important thing. And also maybe doing some outreach in the communities, you know, the taquerias in the area. They shouldn't buy leopard sharks from fishermen to use for fish tacos and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really important in Northwest California and Humboldt County for people to understand the potential impacts to the tribal communities as well, because, you know, when you're eating so much more fish than the average person, you know, the amount, the number that you talked about, 0.44 parts per million being the cutoff point for what is acceptable to be eating, is actually much lower for Native American people. And in fact, the Regional Water Board mentioned in a report that 0.08 parts per million is a better number to be using as far as screening values based on Native American uses, where people eat 12 meals a month.
Mm-hmm.
So they applied that guide to Humboldt Bay for particularly protecting the Wiat tribe members and other subsistence fishermen. You know, the question is then, what fish are safe to eat? And you talked a little bit about shellfish. Do shellfish accumulate mercury like finfish do?
Yeah, they do. They accumulate mercury, but they're lower on the food chain, of course. And so the levels are much, much lower. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen a shellfish consumption advisory that advised not to eat shellfish based on mercury levels.
Mm-hmm.
I've certainly seen, you know, shellfish advisories for other contaminants like PCBs and dioxins, but not for mercury.
Right.
But we did find, you know, the results of the survey that we did, the Humboldt Baykeeper did in 2005, 2006, showed that Chinook salmon were very low in mercury, and that our local albacore is actually also quite low, around 0.1 parts per million or a little bit lower than that. So, you know, I would definitely suggest, if you're looking for a good low mercury source of protein and all the other good things that come along with eating fish and fish oils, omega-3s and others, that you look for, you know, low mercury sources like Chinook salmon or sardines, anchovies, those fish that are low on the food chain. Of course, salmon are a little bit of a mystery. They're higher on the food chain, but very low in mercury.
Right, but they're fairly short-lived, right?
Right. Which is why the albacore tuna that we catch here on the west coast of California are much lower in mercury than the albacore tuna that you buy, you know, canned by bumblebee or starfish, because they hunt down the tuna when they're very large in the South Pacific, when they're much older, 8 to 12 years old, and already by that time in their lives are loaded with mercury. Well, here, the northern currents are bringing the fish up and that are generally in the, say, 2 to 4 year old range and much, much smaller. They might average 12 pounds instead of in the hundreds of pounds.
Right, and the albacore, which you can go down to the docks right now and buy, I believe, or they were there a couple weeks ago anyway. That's a really good piece of news because, you know, a lot of people associate albacore with high mercury levels because of what you said about them being from older fish from Southeast Asia, but the mercury levels in our local albacore are much, much lower. Good thing, because I love to eat those fish.
Same here. In fact, I bought a pressure canner and I can my own tuna every year. I go down to the docks and I buy whole fish and I loin them and can them, and that's what I feed to my family.
That is the best.
But you can get that. You can buy that in Humboldt, right?
Yeah.
I think it was a Katie's Smokehouse up in Trinidad. Mm-hmm. Those local canned albacore.
And you can get it at most grocery stores now, the Carvalho low mercury albacore, canned albacore. It's very, very good. In fact, I just went down to visit my parents, and my mom specifically asked me to bring some more of that because it's really tasty. Very good stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
So is there anything else that you want to mention before we wrap up? We're almost out of time here.
No. Do you have any other questions? Any other topics on your agenda?
I always like to say how can people find out more or take action? And we didn't talk about if there's any kind of action, but how about just how can people find out more about Ecological Rights Foundation's Mercury Study and the other great work that you do to protect human health and the environment?
Okay, well, people can find out about most of our campaigns on our website, which is www.ecorights.org, and that's ECORIGHTS, or follow us on Facebook. We post a lot about things that are occurring, environmental issues up and down the coast of California and other places, but when we have our own campaigns, we tend to post about those as well. And then, you know, I recommend that people support their local environmental groups, including Humboldt Baykeeper and the great work you're doing up there.
Well, thanks, Fred. We'll definitely be putting the word out about our mercury study as it gets going. And we're about to start sampling fish in the next couple weeks here. And we'll be down on docks doing surveys as well. And fortunately, Jasmine Segura, our Bay Tours coordinator, is fluent in Spanish. So she's going to be working on some of the outreach part of that study. So I'm really excited to get started on that and find out, you know, what's really going on in Humboldt Bay.
Great. I look forward to following how that study goes, and I'm very curious to learn about your results.
All right. Thanks so much for being on the Eco News Report today, Fred.
Okay. Thanks again, Jen.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
This has been the Eco News Report. My name is Jennifer Cott with Humboldt Baykeeper, and I've been your host for the past half hour. I was speaking today with Fred Evanson, director of the Ecological Rights Foundation, about mercury and fish in Monterey Bay's Elkhorn Slough. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the public affairs page on the KHSU website at khsu.org. Previous shows are also posted on the North Coast Environmental Center's website at yournec.org. The Eco News Report is produced at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering. Join us again next week for the Eco News Report.
Local support for the Eco News Report on KHSU comes from the Redwood Coast Energy Authority. Information about energy services and rebates available to Humboldt County residents and businesses can be found at 707-269-1700 or at its office located at 3rd and H Streets in Eureka. Information is at redwoodenergy.org. And donors to KHSU also include Wildberries Marketplace, hosting Humboldt Made tastings the second Friday of each month from 4 to 6. Local makers will be there to share and talk about their products. Wildberries, located at the top of the hill on G Street in Arcata. You're listening to KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville.
Fiona Ritchie with you for the Fiddle and Shamrock. Thanks a lot for your company, and here's Fiddler's Bid.